Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dan Hallstrom of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We're back with Dan in just a moment.
For more than 50 years, Ralgro with Zarinol has been known for heavier weaning weights that deliver greater revenue. How much greater exactly? Years of research prove that calves implanted with Ralgro have an average 23-pound weaning weight advantage over non-implanted calves. At today's feeder calf prices, it's easy to see how those extra pounds can result in a bigger check come sale day. And as far as the idea that non-implanted cattle sell for a premium, this is just not true based on Superior Livestock Auction data in over 3 million calves that consistently shows implanted calves bring the same price per pound as non-implanted calves. The math speaks for itself, and so do the results with Ralgro, the gold standard in calf implants that helps you aim even higher. Higher calf weights, higher returns, higher satisfaction. Learn more at Ralgro.com and look for Ralgro at your veterinarian or animal health supplier. A withdrawal period has not been established for Ralgro in pre-ruminating calves. Do not use in calves to be processed for veal.
Despite May and June being down export months, especially for U.S. beef, because of supply disruptions due to COVID, Dan Hallstrom with the U.S. Meat Export Federation says the second half of the year looks really good, potentially, for getting beef into the global market.
Everyone wants to talk about COVID, and granted, it's a huge, huge issue globally for everybody, but keep in mind, pre-COVID, we had some tailwinds helping us. The Japan-U.S. Ag Agreement, in my mind, is the best thing we've had happen for a long, long time. Got us on a level playing field, and now we're seeing the results, and we are taking share from Australia, Canada, Mexico, into Japan. So, big, big success story there. And then you have some smaller ones. I mean, the business into China is relatively small on beef, but it's growing. And this Phase 1 trade agreement for beef into China is another area that has a lot of potential going forward.
Yeah, on that Chinese trade, you know, Phase 1 trade deal, what the most important thing about that were the rules kind of being rewritten in favor of U.S. beef.
Exactly right. Yeah, these were huge wins that a lot of folk don't talk a lot about. But, you know, we had a traceability requirement that was really backed off to something that allowed a lot more cattle. You had an age restriction that was lifted. You also had a tolerance for hormone-treated animals that was implemented following Codex standards. So these are all things that are huge, huge victories. And the real thing that's enticing about China, it's the largest importer of beef in the world globally. But what they're importing, for the most part, is not high-quality grain-fed beef. So this is a niche that we can fill. So, yeah, very exciting.
Mike, back up to the Japanese agreement also. In the case of Japan, I know that there was a lot of worry those last few months of 2019 before the agreement kicked in. We were seeing our share actually being taken from us.
Exactly. We were. In fact, that was going on for a couple of years. We finished up 2019 at about a 13% duty disadvantage vis-a-vis Australia. So, we were holding our own, losing some small share, but you're right. But now that we're on a level playing field, when we're even with our competition, we can win because we have the high quality beef here. So, I'm very excited about Japan. And it's really a lot of different sectors. Retail is booming in Japan. Mm-hmm. Certain sectors of food service are booming. The family style dining, as they start to reopen, is booming. And you've got the convenience store sector, the online business. It's all really ramping up. And you could say the same thing for Korea as well. We're seeing a lot of shifts there into the online platforms, of which this is where we're spending a lot of our time today. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, when you look at some of these other countries that we know are very, very important, I know that there's one kind of worry out there, and that the Mexican market has got some headwinds out there, I guess, the economy, because of the pandemic.
Yes. I mean, we were doing well through into early May with Mexico, Central and South America, and they entered into the lockdown after the U.S., mm-hmm. and they're still in it. significant today. But yes, very dependent on tourism in Mexico and Central America in particular. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's come to or slowed down considerably. They're very dependent in their economy for the oil and natural gas. And of course, those prices are down considerably. So these are concerns. But I'll be honest with you, the demand for our products is still pretty resilient. And they're going to come out of this. The tourism will start back up. And when they do, I can't tell you when. We're hoping it's it's September. But when they do, we're going to be ready, because reintroducing U.S. beef into the menus in these sectors that have been slowed down, there's going to be a surge in pent-up demand.
Dan Hallstrom with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
We're for anyone who takes pride in doing things the right way. For more than 30 years, our checkoff-funded Beef Quality Assurance Training and Certification Program has been guiding ranchers, veterinarians, and transportation professionals dedicated to moving the cattle industry forward. Raising consumer confidence in the safety and quality of their food leads to improved profitability. Get BQA certified at BQA.org.
BQA, the right thing to do. Brought to you by the Oklahoma Beef Council. And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes.